Welcome to Winning Through Culture. I'm Amanda Kramer, and today we are focusing on the core value of conviction. I'm really thrilled to have Hannah Butler sitting beside me today. Hannah is a financial advisor with our firm. She's a community enthusiast, a mom, a wife, and so much more. And we're going to discuss how making a career shift was slightly frightening in a pandemic, but necessary change to give her space to really make an impact. Hannah, welcome and thanks for being with me.
Thanks, Amanda. So happy to be here.
Excellent. So let's hop right in. You know, conviction means something different based on the situation. For us, we see it as being all in, and what better person to chat about this with than you. So we have recently talked about the fact that you made a very bold change heading into 2020, one that led you to be sitting with me today. I'd like to talk just a little bit about what prompted you to make that choice. Why did you consider the financial services profession? And why did that make sense for you at that time in your life?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. You know, I love sharing my story. And yeah, so everybody gets into this business, I think, in a different way. But oftentimes, folks are kind of impacted by either they've had an experience with an advisor, they've been on the other side and have had a positive experience, or they're second or third generation. I mean, I know that's the case with Tim as well. And so for me, really, my dad is an advisor,
right?
And has been 42 years. And counting. But I was not working in this space at all, as you know.
Right.
I was in transportation sales and really just kind of found myself missing something. And kind of what sparked my exploration really was I had one of my clients at the time approach me and say, hey, are you happy doing what you're doing? Would you ever consider leaving? We'd love to talk to you. We're looking to expand. And just because I had a good relationship and rapport with them, it kind of led me to explore and kind of look outside of what I was doing. I was in just a really good spot with work-life balance, and it was just a great place. I had grown up there. I'd been there almost 13 years. And
yeah.
So, but just kind of going through that, and I think it kind of opened my eyes to, wait a minute, I have reached this place where, boredom's a strong word, but just where I was...
You were comfortable.
I was comfortable. And I think that I had already kind of explored somewhat the two paths for growth, which were either getting on an airplane and being kind of like in that corporate sales, like boardroom type arena, or going down a management track, which would mean moving our family, which really didn't excite us either. And so I really kind of felt stuck. Mm-hmm. And then after kind of having that exploration with that client that approached me, I frankly, this sounds super corny, but I kind of had a light bulb moment of realizing, wait a minute, I'm not stuck. Like, I'm in control of this.
Absolutely.
And so what are you doing about it, Hannah? Like, time to...
do some self-reflection.
Yes, like, let's get serious. And so shortly after I realized that the opportunity wasn't a fit... where my client approached me, just because it was going to be get on an airplane every time I turn around. And we have two young kids that just wasn't a fit, or I wasn't willing to fit that in to our lifestyle. So my parents came down to visit. And this is coming up on 2 years now ago. My dad came down here actually to meet a client. And then after he had met a client and we were having dinner, we were sitting at the dinner table after dinner, and I said, all right, Dad, let's talk. Like, okay, like you've been on your appointment. Now we got to figure this out for me. Like,
I heard about your story and your day.
You had your time.
Exactly.
Right. So, and my husband at that point was totally sick of hearing this. and I just remember him looking across the table at me and saying, you're still that restless. You're still that unsettled. And I'm like, yeah. And because this had been going on for a while. I was like, yeah, I am. And he just said, well, and he kind of said it half-hearted. He's like, maybe it's time you explore financial services and Mass Mutual. He's like, we've talked about it, but we've never seriously talked about it. And my eyes kind of lit up and I thought, really? You know, is he serious? And so then when we started kind of talking through it, he's like, Hannah, like, you're in your mid-30s, mm-hmm. You know, it's not, there aren't kids in daycare anymore. It was just, kids are settled in elementary school. Maybe if you're going to be serious about making a change, maybe it's time to actually explore this. And so by the end of the weekend, that turned into, by the end of the weekend, I dare you to call Tim Flanagan, is what he said when he was getting...
I love that. That's great.
When he was getting in his car to leave. So anyhow, so that's how it kind of all came about. And as soon as I met the team here, just kind of fell in love with everybody throughout the process. And once I finally picked up the phone and called, I don't know if you know this either, Amanda, but I called and I left a voicemail with, actually I talked to Amy McCary first, and then I left a voicemail with Caitlin, and she's busy. She didn't call me back that same day. And I called the next day. I was like, listen,
very persistent.
Basically, like, if you don't call me back soon, like, don't let me think too long about this.
Well,
like, I'm ready. So yeah. Like, I'm ready to talk to somebody. So anyways, we connected that next day, but anyhow, that's kind of how it all started.
I did not know that. That is a nice anecdote to the process and how you got introduced. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, I know you're strongly convicted in your why, given that it is definitely such a change coming from transportation sales into financial services, just from a sector and, you know, business line standpoint. But you have so much compassion for what you do, and I've been able to experience that in the relationship that you and I have built, and also hearing your stories of how you've been working with other advisors to meet the client's needs. And I think that it would be good just to kind of like, how do you put that into words? Like, when you think about your why, I mean, you talked a lot about the fact you were restless coming into it, wanted to find where you could really take that next step. When you speak with individuals, how would you put your why into words?
Yeah. So, lots of different thoughts there. I wouldn't say it's necessarily just like one specific thing, but it's everything for me between, kind of feeling like I wasn't necessarily in the role I was in previously. I didn't feel like I was making an impact or I was doing something of significance. And so I felt when I really kind of stripped everything down, that's what I felt like I was missing. And I saw my dad in this, right? Really at arm's length. I mean, growing up, I don't think you can really understand or appreciate the work that, frankly, either of your parents do, probably.
Very true. Yeah. You're kind of like, I understand that you have a job and that you provide for our family, but beyond that,
right.
Yeah.
So, I saw my dad as having some great relationships, right? Mm. And I think that I saw myself in the role that I was in previously, it felt like the industry was becoming more and more commoditized.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that was not a direction I cared for. And I'm a relationship driven person.
Absolutely. I can vouch for that.
And so it just didn't feel like long term that was going to be really a great home for me.
So you're strongly convicted in your why. How do you articulate that and put all the compassion that I've been able to witness into words?
Yeah. So, certainly, and I've shared a lot about my background and how I got into the business. So first and foremost, the why, I was definitely missing something in my previous role. And so really just missing and felt like I wasn't making an impact or I wasn't doing something of significance. And so I think that kind of led me down this path. But I also don't know that I would have felt as comfortable taking this jump in my mid-30s, you know, with a husband and two kids and family in tow, if I hadn't been on the other side of an advisor relationship and kind of had the confidence in some of the work and the protection that we had put in place. If I didn't have that, I don't know if you want to call it safety net, if you will, or kind of just that feeling of security that I have that ability to do this at this point in my life.
Yeah, the planning you had put in place allowed you the freedom to make a change that you didn't necessarily know where you would end up, but you felt comfortable knowing that you had that safety net because you had put in place some protection against the what happens, the what ifs in life.
Yeah, no, I think you just summed it up perfectly, and that's exactly right.
So when you think about the relationship that you've built with MassMutual Carolinas, you've referenced Tim, who is our president. I know you referenced a few other associates that really helped you in your journey of becoming a financial advisor with us. As an organization, when we think about Conviction, we really focus on providing our clients, our advisors, our associates, our team members, whatever title you want to give the people that we have relationships with in any capacity, the greatest opportunity to reach their stated goals. You will always hear me say, you know, what is your version of success? We want to be your most valued business partner in that. Everybody's definition of success is going to be different, and it might be because of the season of life that they're in, or it very well might be because they just don't know yet, right? They don't have that space, that freedom to make a change and to be able to really articulate it. And when we look at wrapping our resources around those individuals, we want to support their calling. Whatever the why, right, that we just talked about for you, making sure that you are able to make an impact, you're doing something of significance, and ultimately that you see the intangible value that goes along with being an advisor. And I know we've talked a little bit about how, you know, you're in a completely new industry, right? But I would be interested to know, so even on your toughest days that you've had, because there are ups and downs to every position you could have, no matter your industry, what really like pushes you? I know we talked about your why, but is there something you continuously go back to say, I know I'm convicted in this role and I'm working towards it. And on my bad days, I tell myself X.
Yeah. I think for me, it's a picture on my desk, my two boys.
I love that picture, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, definitely family and the fact that I sat across the table from my husband and was like, oh no, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Like, made a very declarative statement. Yes.
So, and I remember very distinctly, I had just passed my first securities exam, first of many. And then, you know, we went to dinner and he says to me, so, okay, like, tell me kind of, you got one doubt, like, what are you kind of thinking? Are you still kind of, and that's when I said, oh no, I'm definitely doing this. And he's like, okay. He's like, just, yeah. And then he says to me, you know, well, just make sure you leave on good terms, which he's like, of course I know you will. He's like, 'cause if you ever have to go back, and I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this is going to work.
So you said earlier about, you know, the picture on your desk, your boys, your family in tow. And I wonder, as far as, you know, when you are sitting there and you're having a bad day, you know, what's really pushing you forward? You're very convicted in your why, but when you think about how to like pump yourself up and say, I am in this, I am doing this, how does that come to fruition for you?
Sure. So, couple things beyond, you know, my boys. I mean, certainly them, but not just them, but the fact that I take very seriously that I'm the vision they see of a wife, you know, a mother, and just a female. And so I just take that really seriously. And I want to be that independent, strong person and female influence, and the person that's what they know as a woman, right?
Right.
So that's really important to me. The other thing is, I didn't study and do all of this before, you know, while I was still working full time, and kind of really adopt the all in before I even got started, to not do anything with it. And so I think, you know, if I'm not figuring out who I can help next and keeping that at the forefront, then everything I've done up to this point is just, there's no point. I mean, it's just, that's the why, is how can I help people and how can I make an impact to their lives and their families?
Well, and I think it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a community leader, you have a profession, right? And I know we were talking a lot more about that today, but how do you do it all? Being the fact that, you know, you do have a family in tow, you have to have that balance. And again, when we talk about balance in the context of core values, it's not that everything is in harmony all the time. And I realize that is not
the case for me.
Not the case. I think it's important that it's not equal, because there are going to be times in your life where some parts require more of you, and then you need to put your energy there, and then you can shift your energy. But you're really attending to all those different aspects. What's your secret?
Oh boy. Certainly no secret. I think the biggest thing, and again, nothing special or really, but just kind of like how life has been for me leading up to this point, or kind of my life experiences, I should say. And I look back heavily on, you know, my time as a college athlete, I think, mm-hmm. and just juggling multiple priorities. And then really specifically my 2 years at the Naval Academy. So those were my first 2 years of college. And, I will tell you, those were two of the toughest years of my life in a lot of different ways. And mostly because every single day felt like you didn't have enough hours. Right. But little did I know that was preparing me beyond ways that I even could understand at that point for...
That was like training camp.
Right. Like for just juggling life and just kind of, you know, we joked before we got on the podcast that my mom's lying to me all the time. And if she ever listens to this, she will die laughing. But it's just, well, you'll figure it out because you always do. Like, you'll just figure it out because, you know, when it feels like I'm juggling too much. And the truth is, you just do. And I think I just put my head down and don't overthink it. I don't know.
I think that's a good way to put it. You kind of say, okay, let's just use the analogy of a swimming pool, right? You're like, okay, I can step in and kind of wade into it, or I could just go all the way. And I feel like you, and just being how much I am aware of your life, you are 100% that person that says, well, I'm just going to go to the deep end and I will figure it out. I might not swim, I might be floating, but I'm going to figure it out.
No, very perfect analogy for that's very appropriate, Amanda. Yes.
Oh, good. Excellent. So you mentioned in one of your previous comments about the fact of, you know, really wanting to make an impact. And you introduced me to a wonderful organization in the Charlotte community, Rise to Thrive. And I know you're part of their board. And Ashley is just a wonderful partner for you. And you are also recently recognized internally in our firm for the work that you've done in the community, and specifically with Rise to Thrive. What led you to getting involved in that capacity, right? Because when we're looking at the complete person, it's not just what you do from a professional standpoint, but what you do in a personal capacity as well. So tell me a little bit about Rise to Thrive, how you got involved, and really where you see that relationship going.
Sure, yeah. So Ashley's a good friend of mine. We met through our kids playing sports together, which... her husband was the coach. And so we would be in the stands oftentimes together, oftentimes yelling together. But it was actually during a practice, and I was there studying for a securities exam with listening to dribbling basketballs, you know, in the background. And she scooted over next to me and was like, what are you working on? And I said, oh, you know, and I just kind of shared my story and kind of what I was doing and how I was doing it and what my path was looking like the next, you know, few months or so. And she was just like, that's great. And just really supportive. And then she kind of shared, well, actually I've been working on kind of making a big transition too. And so it was really just at a basketball practice where she shared, hey, I've like always had this on my heart. And had this kind of servant attitude and mentality about me. And she really just said, like, hey, listen, I have this idea for this nonprofit, and this is kind of where I'm at with it. And I just was totally just engrossed in the conversation of just everything and all of her ideas that she had. And actually have a really good friend, my best friend, who is really involved with a very similar organization. Mm. And I've just seen... that work through her and how she's been involved in a board and how it's changed her, and it's changed really her entire family now is involved. And it's been incredible to see her journey. And when Ashley shared kind of her vision and her, just what she was wanting to do, I couldn't help but raise my hand and say, how can I be on this journey with you? Like, how can I walk beside you? And so when all of that came to fruition, we connected and were able to kind of, you know, really kind of talk about what that could look like. And fortunately, it led to me being a board member and being involved in some of the programs there.
Yeah. So Rise to Thrive, from my understanding, so feel free to add some additional pieces here. They really focus as an organization on meeting families where they are and equipping them with knowledge, skills, resources to overcome kind of all of life's challenges and the barriers they might experience as it relates to economic mobility.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the relationship and kind of the correlation with kind of what I'm doing professionally, but then kind of really where Rise to Thrive and kind of where I'm involved civically kind of comes together is really just in that education. And to quote Lee Bowman, he's always telling clients, we're the educators and you're the decision makers in this process. But same thing here is like, same concept applies, right? So if we can help educate the folks that, you know, maybe haven't had the advantages or have fallen on hard times for whatever reason, if we can help educate them and hopefully then inspire them to kind of continue to take the next step forward, that's really the whole thought process behind the financial literacy piece to what we do at Rise. So it's basically just trying to get them that momentum and give them some of that tools and education to take that next step forward.
Yeah. And I think that's a perfect way to showcase, right? So, and I love that you referenced Lee. He's phenomenal as a human being and also in a professional capacity, and you just can't not love him. He walks down the hall and it's like,
so you're his, true.
Yeah, I you're know. His best friend. So I think it's good that you use that, right? So you're the educator in any situation. You want to make sure that people are equipped with the information to make a decision. Whether that is a decision they can make today or it's a decision they can make in 5 years or in 10 years, they have a working knowledge of how to best support themselves and their family through financial empowerment. And I think that's a really cool way to say that ultimately they're the ones who are going to have to implement it, but you can be their partner and you can go along in that journey with them.
For sure. Yeah. And that's the whole thought process behind it.
Excellent. So as far as, you know, your journey, we talked a lot about how you made a transition in a very difficult year and you have done so many wonderful things so far. If you were to reflect and say, you know, if I could have given advice to myself as a young person and then also as a person, let's call it 18 months ago, what would you tell yourself?
Wow. Yeah. I definitely would say, you know, just be intentional with how you do get started, but that you're not going to be able to plan for every little bit along the way. I mean, if you had told me that the pandemic would happen, literally everything would be shut down the weekend before I started Fast Start Academy on a Tuesday, I probably never would have, I don't know what I would have done. You know, I mean, I say it, maybe I wouldn't have gone through with it. I don't know. I don't know, but, glad I didn't know, because I don't know this and entrepreneurship any different way now. I mean, so I think that just basically there's going to be some kind of obstacle or something that isn't perfect every step of the way. And that's okay. And if you try to wait until it's perfect or you're, trying to just do everything in a planned fashion, that's not always going to be the case. And so just continue to figure it out.
Well, I think that's good advice because, you know, I was reading this article the other day and it was talking about the, you know, not to get this into a pandemic podcast, but the fact is that over the last year, everybody's been pushed into a constant state of fight or flight. And sometimes people are, you know, approaching a different, everyone goes through change differently, right? There is a curve that is associated with change. You need to be communicated differently based on where you are and in the process of really accepting the change and moving forward. And I think emotionally, it's important to recognize that there will sometimes be that obstacle. There will sometimes be that wall that is there. And it's okay if you get up to it and you lean against it for a little while. So then you can take a step back, rest, take a step back and say, I got this. I can make a window here. I can make a door. I can get through this wall. And, you know, walking down the hall and you don't even know that I like pay attention, I don't think, as much as I do. But I was listening to you earlier today on a call. And just, you have so much energy behind what you do and the way you're able to, you know, relate even through a computer screen in a pandemic where it's just like ridiculous some days, right? That you constantly like, I gotta put my headphones in, I have to be on, I'm on Zoom, I'm ready. Okay, good. You just have such an ease when it comes to it. And I think that it's important to note that that comes from your why. That comes from how convicted you are with the ability for you to make an impact and to ultimately help people get to a better place. And again, whatever that better place sure. is for them. And I think going, being their partner in that and on that journey with them is what makes you special.
Oh, well, those are kind words. Thanks, Amanda. My goodness.
Oh, you're very welcome. They are true words. Absolutely. Well, Hannah, I could not have had more fun with you today. I have laughed more than I could have expected, and it brightened me. So thanks for being with us on Winning Through Culture. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast. And remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.